Hello there and good day everyone. Welcome to iRibe English Radio and this is the program The Teacher. I'm your host, Masood. Among the many areas of science and knowledge that Muslim scholars contributed much to, of course, there are many of them that we simply mention, like medicine, physics, astronomy, or many other practical, let's say, areas of science that we think Muslims were, you know, really good at a time that we're talking about, for example, the medieval ages and the Andalusian Muslim scholars who grew at that time and contributed, you know, significantly to all these areas of science and knowledge. There is no doubt that there were many great Muslim scholars and, of course, scientists at that time who impacted and influenced the later developments in that areas of science. For example, in medicine or physics, astronomy, and, you know, mathematics, philosophy, and these are the areas that we usually hear about. But it is maybe a little bit far from our mind to think that even areas of knowledge such as sociology were developed by Muslim scholars at that time. Today, we're going to talk about Muslim contributions to the knowledge of sociology. Yes, that is what we call it, of course, today, sociology. Let's go back and see that how Muslim scholars, of course, they could develop this area of knowledge. Ibn Khaldun is one of the most well-known figures, not only among the Muslims, but of course among the Western scholars and non-Muslims for his thinking, of course, and his thoughts and writings on many different areas of science and knowledge, including and specifically the knowledge of sociology. His works were more than, you know, just like a critical study of history. It is in fact a study of human civilization in general. So Ibn Khaldun developed this area, and its beginning factors contributed to the development of this area of knowledge. And, you know, let's say that Ibn Khaldun could found a new science, the science of social development, or sociology, as we call it, of course, today. So the revolutionary views of scholars such as Ibn Khaldun have always attracted not only Arab scholars' attention, but the attention of many Western thinkers as well. Yes, Ibn Khaldun and scholars like him are among the very early developers and pioneers of areas of knowledge such as sociology. Brother Yasser Ibrahim talks about Ibn Khaldun's biography and writings.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته dear listeners. In this our continuation of discussing and trying to revive the names of those Islamic scholars, of those Muslim scholars who were the forefathers of the knowledge we had today. The world has forgotten them, but we shall not forget them. We shall bring up their names and remind them that Islam is not a religion of violence. Islam is not a religion portrayed by that which is on the news, by that which ISIS portrays. That's not Islam. Islam is a religion that has founded and has advanced the knowledge of people that we have today and the scientists that came after them. Today our discussion is on Abdul Rahman bin Muhammad bin Muhammad bin Muhammad bin Al-Hassan bin Jabir bin Muhammad bin Ibrahim bin Abdul Rahim bin Ibn Khaldun. Who generally knows Ibn Khaldun? Who was named this after a remote ancestor. Ibn Khaldun was born in Tunis, which is Tunisia of today, in the year 1332. He was born in an upper-class Andalusian family of Arab descent. Their fabulous ancestors was, according to him, that is Ibn Khaldun himself, a Yemenite Arab who shared kinship with Luwail ibn Hujr, a companion of the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. His family, which held many high offices in Andalusia, had emigrated to Tunisia after the fall of Seville to the Reconquista in 1248. Under the Tunisian Hafsid dynasty, some of his family held political office. Ibn Khaldun's father and grandfather, however, withdrew from political life and joined a mystical Sufi order. His brother, Yahya Khaldun, was also a historian who wrote a book on the Abdul Wadid dynasty, and he was assassinated for being the official history writer of the court. At the age of 20, Ibn Khaldun began his political career as the chancellor of the Tunisian ruler Ibn Tafrakhin, with the position of Katib al-A'lama, which consisted of writing in fine calligraphy the typical introductory notes of official documents. He then followed his teacher Abili to Fez. Here, the Marinid Sultan Abu Inam Faris the First appointed him as a writer of royal proclamations, which didn't prevent Ibn Khaldun from scheming against his employer. In 1357, this brought the 25-year-old a 22-month prison sentence. Upon the death of Abu Inan in 1358, the Vizier Al-Hassan ibn Umar granted him freedom and reinstated him in his rank and offices. Ibn Khaldun then schemed against Abu Inam's successor, Abu Salim Ibrahim III, when Abu Salim, that is, both of them were exiled. When Abu Salim came to power, he gave Ibn Khaldun a ministerial position. His first position was corresponded with Ibn Khaldun's ambitions. Ibn Khaldun's main work is the Kitab al-Abrar, or Book of Lessons. It has a very lengthy name, which we'll not get into now. This book was originally meant to be written on the history of the Berbers, which was a group that lived in North Africa at the time. A tribe or a group that lived in North Africa at the time, but later expanded it to focus on universal history. The Kitab al-Abrar is divided into 7 books, the first which, the Muqaddima or Introduction, can be considered a separate book. Books 2 to 5 cover the history of mankind up to the time of Ibn Khaldun. Books 6 and 7 cover the history of the Berber peoples and the Maghrib. Maghrib, that is Morocco. The work is an important source for Berber history, although Ibn Khaldun in passed rely on poor source material. That is the Rawd al-Qirtas, for example. His historiographical work has been criticized for often presenting only a synthesis of multiple, sometimes contradictory sources, where a more careful historian such as al-Raqiq or al-Maliki would always give the original text before pronouncing an opinion. From other sources we know of several other works, primarily composed during the time he spent in North Africa, al-Andalus. His first book, Lubab al-Muhassal, a commentary on the Islamic theology of Fakhruddin al-Razi, was written at the age of 19 under the supervision of his teacher Al-Abili. In Tunis, a work on Sufism, Shifa al-Sa'il, was composed around 1373 in Fez, Morocco. Whilst at the court of Muhammad, the Sultan of Granada, Ibn Khaldun composed a work on logic called Alaqa lis-Sultan. Inshallah, until next time, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
Welcome back. You're listening to IRIB English Radio, and this is the program The Teacher. We're talking about the foundation of one of the, you know, areas of knowledge, as in the modern disciplines we call it sociology. We were also talking about Ibn Khaldun, one of the most well-known figures in history of knowledge, of course, even among the Western scholars and non-Muslims. Ibn Khaldun, who is considered as a great historiographer and historian, is also claimed as the forerunner of the modern disciplines of sociology and demography. However, his views that developed these areas of knowledge were strongly linked with Islamic teachings, of course. When talking about society and sociology, we can say that one of the main concerns of Ibn Khaldun was the shape of the society, of course, and how this society is going to shape other individuals, of course. So among other societies, we see that if there are people, significant people, of course, growing from or rising from those societies, then we go back and see there are some teachings and guidelines in the roots, down deep in the roots of that society, which could bring up such people and individuals from that community. You know, Muslim government of Andalusia, or the Muslim society of Andalusia at that time in the medieval ages, is itself a great example of this concern. When this society was linked with pure Islamic teachings, of course, and, you know, development of science and knowledge, then we see the numerous number of Muslim scholars and scientists rising from such a community, and all of them virtuous and faithful people. So there is no doubt that a society plays a significant role, of course. A virtuous society, let's say, plays a significant role in shaping faithful individuals who are also so much contributive to their society and other communities as well.
إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن لعلي وحسين وحسن.
Thank you so much, everyone, for listening to IRIB English Radio and the program The Teacher. We'll have you hopefully again in the next episode of this program, but just don't forget to visit our website at parstoday.com. Till next session, God bless you all. Have a nice time and goodbye.
كل من كان محبا لهم يدخل الجنة من غير حزن يدخل الجنة من غير حزن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن لعلي وحسين وحسن كل من كان محبا لهم كل من كان محبا لهم